Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We were discussing two different passages from the fifth amsha of the Vishnu Purana. The first was prayers by the demigods in the second chapter, and then Akrura's prayers to Krishna in the 18th chapter. These are all both from the canto that discusses Krishna Lila. The first one made a statement that the Supreme Lord's names and so on cannot be known. And the second statement made by Akrura says that people imagine names and so on of the Lord. Well, it seems to be contradictory, that they can't be known at all, or that people make up something in their imagination. But the correct understanding reconciles the two by saying that everything about the Lord is beyond the reach of mundane knowledge. And they are not mundane creations. They're real, and they can be known, but not by material means. Continuing 46:16. Tata hyatra apatata pratit artatayam kalpana shabdo vyartak syat nama jatyadayo na vidyante ityanenaiva vivakshitartha siddhehi. Indeed, if we understand this statement in a more superficial way, the term kalpana, manufactured by the mind, which was in the verse, becomes useless, since the intended meaning would be established just by saying there are no names, categories, and so on. It says there's no kalpana of names, categories, and so on. Why not just say, if they're unreal, if they don't exist, why not just say there are no names, categories, and so on, period? Why do we have to talk about kalpana? Kalpana, because kalpana means either material imagination, or, you know, there is no material understanding or imagining of these things. Swayam eva brahma jadi shabdanam paramartha pratipadaka namataya swikritesh cha. Ajam ekam lohita shukla krishnam ityadish ajayamanatva lakshana jatis chadrishyata eva. The passage itself acknowledges that words like Brahma and Aja are names with an absolutely real reference. And in such phrases as another unborn being who becomes red, white, and black, that is from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. We see an example of a real category of that which is not born. So it's not born, but it's real. It's said to be real. It's described as real. Although it's also said that it's not born. Tata namadi kalpana navidyante ityuktya swayam krishnadi nama kalpanoktir vinudha syat. Furthermore, the idea that there is no imagining of his names and so on is contradicted in the same passage by the mention of his names, such as Krishna. That his names, such as Krishna, are so-called imagined. Okay. It seems to be a direct contradiction within the passage. Kalpanaya va katam idyata syat. Kalpanaya adiyatatvat chakatam krishnadi nama nayatyam uchyate. Now, if they're imagined in the mind, the names and so on of the Lord, how could they be worshipable if they're just mental concoctions? And since imagination is not a regulated practice, process, why are these names, Krishna and so on, said to be assigned in a fixed way? If we're just imagining names, it could be any name. Why Krishna? What's the rule that makes it Krishna? Commentary. Impersonalists, consider the personality of Godhead to be a degraded illusion imposed on the nameless, formless, supreme. All names and forms, they presume, are illusory. If a Krura were thinking like them, like the impersonalists, thinking that all the names and forms are illusory, when he was worshipping his illusory Lord, there would have been no need for him to add the word imagined to his prayers. Only if a Krura were not an impersonalist, but was worshipping a real person, would it make sense for him to distinguish imagined names from others that are not imagined. Then his calling his Lord by the names Aja and Brahman would not contradict his own words. He says, you don't have names, I just imagine. Then he calls them by certain names. Brahman, Aja. He has real names. But he doesn't. When people make up names, they're not the real names. You cannot just imagine what God is. He is what he is. The personality of Godhead has real names and forms, and he also belongs to real categories. Of some categories, like Supreme Lord, he's the only member. Other categories he shares with others, like being unborn. Living entities are also unborn. The finite souls and material nature are also unborn, as the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 4.5 affirms. Ajam ekam lohita shukla krishnam bahvik praja svijamanam sarupa ajohye ko jushamano nushete jahatyenam bukta bogam ajonyaha. There is one eternal female who gives birth to many children, red, white, and black, all resembling herself. One eternal male lies beside her, trying to enjoy her, while another eternal male leaves her aside as already enjoyed. Of course, there's a pun on words there. Aja means goat. Metaphor of the three goats. The manufacture of ordinary names is arbitrary, the whim of the namers. But because they are manufactured, ordinary names cannot be eternal. But only what is eternal deserves to be worshipped as supreme. If the Absolute Truth has any names, they must be self-manifest and eternal. Continuing. Tasman nama karma sarupani ityanusarat chayam ev arto yata yatra nama jatya dinam namani krishnadini jatayo Devatva manushyatva kshatriyatvadi lilas tadadinam kalpana navidyante. Thus the meaning is like this. In accordance with the verbs whose names, activities, and identities, in whom there is no concoction of names, categories, and so on, of names like Krishna, and categories like his having pastimes, as a demigod, human, kshatriya, and so on. These are all categories. There's no concoction of those categories. But rather, in him, these are all expressions of his pleasure by his innate and eternal energy. And as it is described in the words, Kintu swasamstaya samapta sarvartam ityukta disha swarupa siddha nitya shakti vilasa rupani evatani iti artaha. All of these are expressions of pleasure by his innate and eternal energy, as is described in the words, who is full in all ambitions by being situated in himself. Tatascha yato yasmat sarvasyapi drishtasya vastuna kalpanam amadi rachanam rite adigamo vyavaharika bhuto nabhavati. Tatastasmat eva heto kalpanamayam nama tannaminam chartam sarvam avagyaya nikila parmana paricheda gochratvena vedatmataya swatak siddhaik krishnadi namupalakshanai prasiddhair eva namabir swatas siddhas tvam eva idyase. The statement seemed to say that people make up names and forms, imaginary, and they worship those, even though he doesn't have any names and forms. But here's the proper explanation of the same words. And so, because no visible object can be comprehended, understood in a practical way, without concoction, in other words, without construction of names and so on, for that reason you, who are self-manifested, are worshipped, ignoring all concocted names and forms known by those names. And you are known by your renowned names, which comprise Vedic enlightenment, undiscernible by any ordinary means of acquiring information, and which are represented only partially by the names headed by Krishna, because he has countless names. You can only list some of them. Tvam eva idyase, munibir vedaischa shlagyase, natu kalpana mayair, anyais tvam eva api shlagyase. You're worshipped by your renowned names, which comprise Vedic enlightenment, undiscernible by ordinary means of acquiring information. And they are represented only partly by the names headed by Krishna. You are worshipped, that is, praised by sages and by the Vedas, by means of these names, but you are not praised by other concocted names. This is the actual understanding. He's not worshipped by imaginary names. He's worshipped by his eternal names. Making up an idea of God is not proper worship of him. Tadvisha mahima bis tair eva tava mahima vyakti bhavatiti. Only by those glorious names is your glory revealed. You can only know how great God is by calling him by the proper names, his eternal names. Here's the commentary. In the same pastime of taking Krishna out of Vrindavan, in which Akrura participated, sage Narada also had a role, especially devoted to Krishna's expansions in Mathura and Dwarka. He visited Krishna just before Krishna's leaving Vrindavan, anticipating in his prayers to Krishna the leelas that Krishna would be enacting. And then Narada concluded with the following words. Vishuddha vigana ganam swasamstaya samapta sarvartam. Those words were quoted in the Anucheta. Samapta sarvartam amogavanshitam swatejasa nitya nivritta maya guna pravaham magavantam imahi Let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity. Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things. And by the power of your spiritual energy, you remain eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion. Twam, this is a continuation of Brahma's, of Narada's prayer. Twam Ishwaram Swashrayam Atma Mayaya Vinirmita Shesha Vishesha Kalpanam Kridartam Adhyata Manushya Vigraham Natosmi Duryam Yadu Vishni Satvotam. I bow down to you, the Supreme Controller, who are dependent only on yourself. By your potency, you have constructed, this is Kalpana, the unlimited particular arrangements of this universe. Now you have appeared as the greatest hero among the Yadus, Vishnis, and Satvatas, and have chosen to participate in human warfare. Vigraha. Thank you. The phrase swa samstaya is translated here as situated in your original identity. This follows the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, who glosses the phrase as in your own perfect situation, your being present with your personal features of pastimes, entourage, and so on. That's the meaning of swa samstaya. You're in your own perfect situation, and you have all your pastimes, your entourage, and other personal qualities. Ordinary communication, without which practical life would stop, requires the creating of names and other conventions. We have to make up names in order to talk to one another. We have to decide. Something new comes into being. We have to give it a name so that we all know what we're talking about. Actually, in the material world, the identity of the named is as artificial as the name assigned to it. The thing named is also artificial, the material body that you're naming. These concepts that my name is Devadatta and I am Bengali, educated and well-to-do, are all superficial and temporary. But my acquaintances only know me in these terms. I'm making a correction. The Supreme, however, is known differently. My acquaintances only know me in these terms. They have no capacity to see my eternal identity. I have one, but nobody knows it. I don't even know it. But the Supreme Lord is known differently. First, one can know him through the authorless verbal authority of the Vedas, having imbibed which, one can then advance to personal realization of the Supreme. The Vedas in their timeless hymns, and many great sages in the Smriti texts they have contributed, depict the Supreme Lord in his glories by resorting to the transcendental names and descriptions that express his forms, qualities, and activities. They don't make up those names, but they use them, the eternal names, those who speak authoritatively. Akrura was correct in saying that the Lord is not glorified by imagined forms and names. Although materialists may satisfy themselves by such concoctions, these artificial representations do not reveal the Lord's true greatness, and praising him with them, such concocted names and qualities, does very little to satisfy him. Okay, 1 minute, I have to go back and take a look at something. Okay, whatever. All right. 46.18. Yadva tire ev adyase. Vyakta mahatmi kriyase iti. Or explaining this in another way, only by these names you are glorified, meaning that your greatness is made known. Glorify means to flatter, to please the person by flattering him. It also means to reveal to others what his greatness is. Atra yaik shastreti prisitai, Shri Bhagavan eva jatiti pratito bhavati, yesham cha sankyetada vapi tadrisha prabhava shriyate, tesham svataksidatvam, anyesham kalpanamayatvam gyayam. We understand specifically that only those names are self-manifest. Which ones are those? Only those which are well known from scripture, which make one at once think about the personality of Godhead, and which are heard to have this potency even when used indirectly. We hear that the Lord's names are powerful even if you use them unintentionally or indirectly. As, for example, to refer to something else. All other names are concoction. Atava he nata. Yatra nama jadyadinam kalpana na vidyante, tat kevala visheshya rupam paramam brahma bhavan. Or an alternate explanation of all this, the supreme Brahman, the pure reality apart from its qualifications, in which there is no concoction of names, categories, and so on, you are that. You are the impersonal Brahman. This can be read to mean that. Tat tad kalpanaya avishayatve hetu. Visheshena koroti lilayate iti vikari tata nabhavaditi avikari. Why Brahman is not an object of such various concoctions is expressed by the words avikari and aja. The first of which, avikari, means that it is not, the names and so on, are not vikari, or he is not vikari, or one who plays, acts in different ways. And the second of which, aja, means that in this form he is not born. He doesn't become perceivable. Yeah, I didn't read the second part. Tad rupena na jayate na prakriti bhavati he ajeti cha. Okay. Then, tatat kim avalambya tatra nama jat yadi kalpana kriyantam iti bhavaha. Well, then, so on what basis, the question is implied, can names and categories be imagined for that supreme? He doesn't undergo any changes, he doesn't have a birth. So how can you make up names and qualities that are based on some material birth or activity or change? There's nothing on which to create such names. But he has his eternal activities and he has eternal names. It's describing those eternal activities. Well, we can't make up such names. Tat tat kalpanam vina cha sarva. Remember, this is a second alternate interpretation of the verse. Tat tat kalpanam vina cha sarvasyapyartasya vastu matras adigama matram nabhavati. Kimuta tadrisha brahmasurupasya bhavataha. Without these varieties of imagination, no thing at all, no concrete object could be comprehended. Okay, without making up ideas of names and forms, you can't understand anything unless you assign a name to it and identify its form, its qualities. Then what to speak of comprehending the essential identity of the Supreme, namely yourself? We can't use our own imaginary idea, names and qualities to describe him. He doesn't fit within that kind of understanding. But, let's see. Kalpana maya nama jat yadeyas tu na kasyapi sarupa dharma bhavanti. Imagined names, categories, and so on are never any entity's inherent properties. We came to this country and claimed it for our own, and we called this mountain such and such, named after some famous person. That's not an inherent quality of the mountain. The mountain's been here for hundreds of millions of years, and you're naming after someone who just died 10 years ago. That's just your imagination. It's not an inherent quality of the thing, the name that you assign to it. Imagined names, categories, and so on are never an entity's inherent properties. So, therefore, let me find the Sanskrit. Yata evam tata sankhyet adina bhavitair api bhavadvat sarva purusharta pradais tad tad vishesha pratipadakai krishnadi namapir evatvam idyase nityasiddha shruti puranadi bhiksh lagyase natu nirvisheshata pratipadakai nitaram kalpanamayair ityartaha. So, because imagined names and categories can't describe anything's, or never anything's inherent properties. Thus, you are worshipped only by your names like Krishna, which bestow all goals of life, just as you do that. Even if it meant, if meant to refer to something else, or otherwise used indirectly, Krishna's name used to refer to something else, or used accidentally or indirectly, and these names describe your many special qualities. This indicates that by means of these names only you are worshipped, praised by the eternally manifested Shrutis, Puranas, and other scriptures. Certainly, you're not praised by means of concocted names describing you as having no qualities. In other words, the Mayavadis don't praise you. They make up some concoction describing you as formless and nameless. That's a concoction also. And it doesn't glorify you. Okay. Commentary. Only transcendental names can be used to properly worship the Supreme Lord. And it is those names only which have superworldly potency. The other names, you make up a name, it doesn't have potency. Krishna's names at once evoke Krishna consciousness. Even one who before had no interest in Krishna will be helplessly attracted to him, even by a little practice of hearing and chanting his names and descriptions of him. And perfected practice of chanting evokes Krishna himself, as Narada testified to his disciple Vyasa. Pragayataksvavirjani tirta padak priyakshvavaha Ahuta eva me shigram darshanam yati chetasi. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart, as if called for, as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. That's pure chanting. It makes Krishna appear. Material names never have such power. And even when chanted without intending to refer to him at all, the Supreme Lord's names can award the most sinful person liberation. The fallen Brahmin Ajamil is an example of this. After marrying a degraded woman, he became so selfish and criminal that he completely forgot the God consciousness of his youth. But he happened to name his youngest son Narayana. And when he lay dying, terrified at the monstrous creatures approaching to drag him away to the court of death, he desperately called out the boy's name. He chanted ignorantly, but without any intention of offense against Lord Narayan or his devotees. And so his uttering these four syllables just once brought in a moment the effulgent envoys of Narayan, swords in hand, to fend off the servants of Yamaraja. Ajamil was saved from hell by unintentionally chanting the Supreme Lord's names. Name, one name. Krishna is the impersonal Brahman also, but in that form he has no name and no form. As Brahman, he cannot be known significantly. What's there to know about him? Even so, it should not be falsely concluded that the names and forms he has in his full appearance as Bhagawan are unreal. Impersonalists concoct descriptions of the Supreme as ultimately formless and nameless. And so, to say something about Brahman, they have to imagine assignments of names to their idea of it. They make metaphorical names. The Taittiriya Upanishad, for example, states, Satyam Gyanam Anantam Brahma. Brahman is real existence and consciousness unlimited. Shankaracharya and his followers identify this phrase as one of the few cardinal Mahavakyas, formulas of the Vedas that actually refer directly to the formless Supreme. Because most of the statements are describing names and qualities. So the Mayavadis have to analyze that these other statements of the Vedas are only describing relative Saguna Brahman. But there are a few Mahavakyas that supposedly directly describe the Supreme Absolute Truth, impersonal. Other parts of the Vedas are inferior, they argue, because they use specific names and qualities to point to the Supreme indirectly by indicating its illusory reflections, beginning with the personality of Godhead. In fact, however, Satyam Gyanam Anantam Brahma describes not only formless Brahman, but Bhagawan also, with all his names, forms, and attributes. Eternity and consciousness are also specific qualities, Satyam and Gyanam, which the Supreme possesses, but dead matter does not. Limitlessness belongs only to the Supreme, since the other countless living souls are all finite in extent and potency. It is a wild misuse of imagination to claim that certain qualitative descriptions of Brahman in the Vedas refer only to the formless, ignoring Parabrahma, the personality of Godhead. Okay, I think I'll stop there. This is the last class. So does anybody have any questions or any discussion at all? Last class for a while.
He's slightly indicated by the name Krishna.
What slightly indicated?
Krishna.
I'm sorry, Krishna is slightly indicated by his name?
So is that what I understood?
Where'd you read that?
What? Our Upalakshana.
Oh, that means that... No, what it means is that this is only a partial list of his names. He can't give a complete list because he has uncountable names.
Like
partial Prabhupada, indication means that this is only some of them.
Prabhupada said, God has no name, but if you're going to give him a name, it should be Krishna because it describes him the best.
Yeah.
Like sometimes he says like that, God has no name.
But what this is saying is something different. That it's only a partial. This is only a partial list of his names. Whatever list you give is only partial. 1,000 names of Vishnu, a billion names of Vishnu is still not a complete list. That's the idea here. Okay, yeah. It's a different idea. That's it. Yes.
Does it mean that just by calling Krishna, we know that all Namakari Bhagavatani Jasarva Shaktis, that even in all name we have all Shaktis and we can get whole understanding of Krishna as he is, but it seems that it is said that we have to have a whole list of names in order to understand.
You mean you have to chant all the names?
I don't know. Is this idea conveyed in there, here? Or?
Every one of Krishna's names is fully potent. Hmm. If you chant an actual name of God, you know, a personal name of him, then that's adequate to achieve perfection. Now, the particular degree and quality of the perfection will depend upon what name you're chanting and how you're chanting it, in what consciousness. But perfection can be achieved, you know, up to prema, by chanting even just any one name of the Supreme Lord. But if you chant Varaha, 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 you'll go to Varaha Loka and have a relationship with him. But you don't have to chant all the names. That's impossible. And Ananta Shesh can't chant all the names.
So we can choose only those names which are referred to Krishna in Vrindavan and try to chant.
It depends on what you want.
Yeah.
You pick your Ishtadeva and worship him. If you want to go to Dwarka, then chant the Dwarka names. Okay, anything else? Okay. Not everybody's here, but I'd like to offer my gratitude to everyone for taking all the trouble to stick it out and last through this whole semester. And I can't promise you it's going to be much easier when we come back. But anyway, this is ultimately a spiritual activity. We're trying to serve Prabhupada by this endeavor of coming together to teach and study. The success is not measured by how much information we cram in our heads or how we do on the test. Even what we learn is secondary. We're making an attempt to try to satisfy Prabhupada. You know, whether it's perfect or imperfect, we'll do what we can. And if our attitude is to try to be something useful for Prabhupada, that in itself is our success. So thank you all and those who aren't here, for going through so much trouble. It's not for me. I'm just trying to do something for Prabhupada. But I think he's pleased by our attempt to cooperate. Hare Krishna. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.